You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back with Dr. Kate Rehm-Blue. She's a naturopathic physician and the author of a book called Vitamin K2 and the Calcium Paradox, which I'm going to ask you about in a minute. But before the break, we were talking about the immune system, and you were saying that, to boost the immune system, you know, we can take things like vitamin D, we can reduce our exposure, we can stop eating sugar or cut back on sugar and reduce our stress levels. What happens if we get a cold or a flu? What do you recommend?
All right. So the first thing that happens, well, first of all, if you are getting a cold and flu, which typically starts at least with a cold, with that tickle in the back of your throat. And the reason why that, a sore throat or a tickle in the throat or, you know, a suspiciously dry throat is the start of usually a cold, is because you have inhaled a virus, or a virus has made its way to the back of your throat, and it's spent some time secreting chemicals to try to break down the tissue in that area to gain access to your bloodstream. So really, when you feel that first tickle in the throat, that process has probably been happening for at least 24 hours. So you have to get on it right away. One of the best first actions to take is to load up on zinc. So getting some zinc lozenges. The purpose of the zinc lozenge is not necessarily to relieve the pain in your throat per se, but to increase your zinc levels, because zinc has been shown to help speed the recovery from a cold or flu. So people who took zinc supplements had a far shorter duration of their nasal and throat cold symptoms compared to people who took a placebo. So zinc is a really important thing to help you quickly boost your immunity to get over that cold better and faster. And then comes the echinacea, like I mentioned before. So this is a good time to, again, increase the number and activity of those white blood cells by taking something like echinamide, which is a standardized echinacea extract, or we were talking before about the antiviral formula, which includes this fresh extract of echinacea and the other herbs that support a healing response and the immune system in a number of ways. Those are two good things to start to basically nip this in the bud. Now, if you feel like the virus has gotten the better of you, or it's gotten to you before you could get to it kind of thing, then you want to go by your symptoms. So there are a number of great natural products for example, cough, especially for children, because children do tend to get far more colds in the wintertime than adults, and cough can be a real problematic symptom for kids. And children under six, in fact, are not allowed, there isn't considered to be currently a dosing schedule for over-the-counter cough medications, for example. So something natural like anti-cold, cough and cold syrup, again, this is a natural factors product with echinamide to help boost the immune system, but also natural decongestants like eucalyptus and lemon oil and peppermint, and natural cough calmers, herbs like wild cherry bark and mullein and horehound.
Interesting. You know, you can't get away without talking about your book, because you did some research on vitamin K2, which I think is going to come out. It's going to be one of the wonders of the decade, because there's a ton of research on it, and it's significant, isn't it?
It is. I was amazed at the amount of research that was out there on vitamin K2, which is a vitamin that nobody was really talking about, even though there was quite a bit of science being done on it. And it is just as important as vitamin D, about which we've heard so much. But thanks for your vote of confidence there. I think the book was a little bit ahead of its time. And I'm also convinced that vitamin K2 will become as important and well-known and recognized as vitamin D.
So for your listeners that are wondering, what is K2? What is K2 and what does it do and where does it come from, and how can it make a difference in people's lives?
Sure. Well, vitamin K2 is a nutrient. It does a number of things, but the main thing it does is help guide calcium around the body. And this is important to channel calcium into our bones where we want it to go, and even more importantly is to keep calcium out of soft tissues like arteries, where it can lead to heart hardening of the arteries, clogging of the arteries, as well as vitamin K2 helps to keep calcium out of places where it'll cause, you know, heel spurs and kidney stones and other inappropriate tissue calcification. And so, you know, we everybody has heard about vitamin D, and most people are taking vitamin D. And vitamin D helps us in a number of ways. A big thing that it does is help us absorb more calcium, which can be good for bone health. But the problem is vitamin D has no control over where the calcium goes once it's absorbed. So that's where K2 comes in. It will take the calcium and make sure it gets to the right place and not end up in the wrong place. Other roles that it has, a bit aside from its calcium-moving role, is that vitamin K2 helps with cell growth regulation. So that makes it really important for cancer prevention. Studies have shown that it helps prevent lung and prostate cancer, which are the two big cancer killers of men. So if you have concerns around bone health or heart health or cancer, K2 is definitely a nutrient that you want to know more about.
You did some research on K2 and heart health. What did you find out?
Well, there's been a number of studies done on K2 and heart health from different angles. So population-based studies show that the people who naturally have the highest dietary intakes of vitamin K2 are amongst those with the lowest risk for heart disease. On the flip side, people also with the highest intake of K2 have better bone health, less fractures, hip fractures due to osteoporosis, for example, whereas people in the lowest intake tend to be amongst those with the highest risk for heart disease. So on a population level, we can see this happening. And there have been a number of studies done that show that vitamin K2 supplements and clinical trials where we're giving vitamin K2 will lower the arterial calcifications that you see that lead to heart attacks and strokes. So from a number of different lines of evidence, vitamin K2 has been shown to be a nutrient that is absolutely crucial for heart health.
Finally, because you're the expert on vitamins today, there seems to be a trend towards food-based, plant-based vitamins. What are you seeing in that area? What's the research in there?
Yeah, so there's a greater appreciation of food synergy and that food may provide a matrix for nutrients that helps us assimilate them better or perhaps has increased bioavailability and using those. Now, we do know that, you know, a lot of our understanding about the actions of nutrients come from standard vitamins. So we do know that those are helpful, but the field of food-based nutrients and nutrients, even standard nutrients that are present within a food matrix, for example, in a base of a food concentrate, that those may provide added benefits, not the least of which is it enables us to, have the benefits we would expect from the standard vitamins and minerals, as well as those from plant-based compounds called phytochemicals, which help to enhance our health in other ways.
So, if somebody's taking a multivitamin, for example, are they going to get better absorption by taking a plant-based multivitamin?
Well, that's the thinking, and we're waiting for more research to confirm that. Right now, we're looking, the studies typically look at individual nutrients, and there's been some very promising research suggesting that perhaps individual nutrients from a food base may provide or offer benefits over the standard forms. I wouldn't say that the evidence is conclusive just yet, but, personally, I have switched to a formula that provides some of the standard nutrients, as well as some food-based nutrients, as well as some of the more biologically active forms of, the B vitamins, for example.
And have you noticed a difference?
Well, I feel good. Mm-hmm. A sense of well-being certainly is maybe rather subjective when you're taking a product, but it's something that you would look for.
Mm. So, summary of what we talked about today, let's talk about our immune system again and what we need to be doing.
Sure. So You know, when it comes time to for cold and flu season, there is more you can do than just taking a flu shot. And whether or not you do get the flu shot, there are hundreds of different cold viruses that we're exposed to all the time. So we do need to do things to boost our immunity. That is, get our white blood cells that should be protecting us from these viruses, get them to be working as well as possible. So common sense tips that help reduce our exposure include basic hand washing and things that help boost our immunity. That's also very simple and easy to do, like avoiding sugar, getting into bed at a reasonable hour because sleep helps our immune system, as well as avoiding stress because stress really will depress our immune system. And then beyond that, you can look at immunonutrition, like taking vitamin D as well as vitamin C and zinc supplements a little bit more when you think you're getting that tickle in your throat. And look to a good quality echinacea extract like echinamide, as we mentioned, which is standardized to three different active ingredients, and it's made from fresh echinacea. That's the key with an echinacea product.
Hmm. What about garlic? Is garlic still a popular product for boosting the immune system?
It is, yes. It certainly has its place. It has antifungal, antiviral properties. Not everybody can tolerate garlic to the same extent, but it is certainly in the immune-boosting herb category.
And what about oregano oil?
Oh, oregano oil. I'm glad you asked me about that, Dave, actually, because I think, you know, oil of oregano is a very interesting product. It is definitely known to be a great antimicrobial, in the sense it's a great antibacterial, antifungal. However, the interesting thing is the research on oil of oregano as an antiviral is not that impressive. And yet, I just know so many people who swear by the fact that when they think they're coming down with something, oil of oregano will just, you know, stop it in its tracks. I just meet so many people who swear by that, that I have to say it's worth a try.
Dr. Kate, we're out of time. I'm wondering if you can just give a website where people can get more information.
Sure. If people have direct questions for me, they can go to www.drkatend, or they can also go to www.naturalfactors.com to hear more about the products we talked about today.
Dr. Kate, thanks for coming on the show. It's always interesting.
You're welcome, Dave. Thank you.
That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Garrett Perry, our producer, and to producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Thanks for listening, and have a great, healthy week.